All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I'm building a tiny home.
Oh, that cool.
Yeah, trailers for yuppies.
Yeah, I love having to do a chore when I want it before I do anything and yeah. after I do anything.
I love needing to make my bed so I can fold it up so I can have an office.
Yeah, if I want to have a hallway, I'm going to have to clean the bathroom.
Yep.
You know, the tiny house lifestyle.
Yeah, I love shitting literally 3 feet away from where I cook my food.
Mm-hmm. In a chemical toilet that I have to empty whenever mm-hmm. I'm in town.
Yeah, yeah, shitter's full.
Bring a backpack. Yep, shitter's full. Got to bring a backpack and just get rid of it on the sly.
A backpack. I have modified.
Johnny Appleseed it.
I have modified. I found somebody who cosplayed Super Mario Sunshine. I have a modified flood that just spouts the stuff. Yeah. Gonna do a tiny home.
Tiny home.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And gonna as a basis, what I did was I got a hold of a cargo container.
Very Fallout.
Just want to have the sun beating down on that, the mid Ohio summer sun, and have the lack of insulation during the bitter Ohio cold. I see no nice. Problems with this at all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we're gonna crack this bad boy open, I figured if we find anything in here, we would make that our topic for the there'd be a game. Yeah, you never know what happens.
You never know what's gonna be in a cargo container.
Yeah, cargo could be anything.
Yeah, and container can contain anything.
Yeah, so you know? gonna crack this open. It appears to be empty, but there is a skeleton.
Okay, environmental storytelling.
Yeah. Okay. Let me get here. He's got big old Coke bottle glasses. There's an ID card here. What was this guy's name? Do I have to pay
smells
his
like nerd?
Do I have to pay his life insurance now? Is that what this is? Now that I've found
him,
the
dowry from beyond the grave. yes, you do.
Okay,
grave dowry.
Okay, yeah. Now this guy's name is Lester. What an unlikely series of events. Yeah, Lester's a fantasy name. Nobody's actually named Lester.
Mm-mm.
No. Game Computer. Lester the Unlikely is a video game we can talk about.
Thank you, Game Computer.
Thank you, Game Computer.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, pre-recorded human speech targeted to distract you from your stifling isolation.
Accurate and chilling. And this week we are talking about an SNES game. At least I played it on the SNES. I don't know if it's available for anything else. This is Lester the Unlikely, an inadequate, let's say, Prince of Persia or Flashback or Another World alike.
Yeah, cinematic platformer.
Yes, there we go. This is
featuring a nerd and the weirdest soundtrack we've ever had on this show.
Let me see here. Before we go any further, this was a patron demand by Eric. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
He says, hey guys, look at this fucking nerd.
Hey guys. Yeah, the arrhythmic farts of the soundtrack of this, are just incredible.
I'll cut in a slice.
It's worth doing a slice, man. The first level music in this is really something else. just very fucking bizarre.
Yeah.
Lester is a weird, he's a nerd, but he's also tired. It's kind of his two things.
Like what they say, he's a little nerdy, a little sleepy. Do you think Lester has an iron deficiency?
I would not be surprised.
Do you think Lester's low T?
Horrible posture.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh, totally low T. The Virgin Lester versus the Chad.
The Chad Prince of Persia. Yeah.
The Chad Prince of Persia. The, I cannot get over how funny this game is, where you just walk up and just kick a turtle in its face as it's crawling peacefully towards you.
Get back in there.
Yeah, it's so fucking funny.
Go back
funny,
to your
man.
Home.
Yeah, go home. It's closing time. You know, kick a turtle in the face. Uh-huh. And they're not doing anything.
No.
They're just like walking towards you, and they're just like,
if they run into you, then you take a hit.
And you turn to a rock. You know?
What's that?
Turn you back into a shell.
Yeah.
Turn into a rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Go away. Incredible. Go away, turt. You're not welcome here.
Just incredible stuff. Very peaceful turtles getting kicked in the face.
They
don't die or anything. They just go back in their shell for a little bit and come out like, that guy's fucking problem.
What a cock. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, I also like funny. The crabs. Like, they just like, yeah. Oh, here's a crab. I'm going to like limply kick at it and put it on its back. Like,
yep.
Eat that flip crab.
It. Yeah.
Shouldn't the turtle be the one that you flip?
You just want to inconvenience the turtle. I don't think the crabs come back. I think the crabs you kill.
You mean the crabs aren't just sleeping?
I don't think so.
No.
I didn't stick around to see if they respond. Did you get far enough to have the bird show up?
Yes. The
loudest sound effect in the world. Well, screeching birds coming to kill this nerd.
It's a fucking eagle storm is what it is.
Yeah.
once you get there, they swarm and they don't stop.
It's a very funny video game. Between the music and the kicking turtles in the face, I was surprised by how much I was laughing at this video, like classics of gameness of this.
Well, I also love the premise. You just have a nerd who is wandering along the docks, reading his comic books or whatever, like an actual functional dock where stuff is being loaded and unloaded.
Yeah, hanging out at the docks like nerds do.
Yeah, and then he just just gets onto a cargo elevator and decides, I'm going to take a nap here.
Naps in public are such a plot device.
Something
that like never happens.
People fucking do it. I hate it.
Do they?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it a lot. I was thinking of it like quicksand, where it's one of those things where people, you know, childhood taught us this is going to show up all the time.
Okay.
And I've never really seen it. I haven't seen a lot of like sleeping naps.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
public naps.
I mean, you
I've seen lots of sleeping naps.
You went to college and you worked on a college campus. Like, you didn't just have like people. I mean, like anywhere you looked, it was basically like that, like the body seat, the pan left of glory in Glory,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just bodies like kind of laying around everywhere. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's true. And then I also like worked in a library.
Yes.
Where like a lot of people sleep.
Yeah. No, I just, it was remarkable. I have trouble falling asleep in a perfectly dark room in a bed that I am very comfortable in.
Same.
I don't know
on
how
many
some
sleep drugs.
Yes.
Like, I still have a hard time.
And then you have this fucker over here who falls asleep standing up while holding a lunch tray. Like,
yeah. It's I can tell that I'm old now because I'm playing this video game, and the video game character I'm most jealous of is Lester Unlikely because he can fall asleep really easily.
He can fall asleep like spontaneously. He doesn't even have to try.
Yeah, what a superpower.
You dick.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
When people fell asleep in the library I worked at, I accidentally cataloged them and they went on some real adventures.
Gonna send you to Rare Books.
Yeah.
We're gonna vacuum seal you.
Yeah. To periodicals with you, my man.
Just put up on that big plank.
Lester the Unlikely, this video game, which is a cinematic platformer, there's not a whole lot to it, has some more incident than a lot of the things that we've recorded about today.
Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of online. Did you find the GameFAQs Gold intro of this?
I saw the GameFAQs Gold. I highly advise you to check out AVGN's video.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, this is the one. No, I didn't read this intro. Introduction. Who should be reading this FAQ?
Yep. I put this in every FAQ I've ever written, and it goes something along the lines like this. By writing this, I commit to you, the reader, that I will bring you not only my vastness of knowledge, but with a sense of humor. I understand that it's easy to get bogged down in detail, as well as a mush of opinion, but I strive to bring you something more than just a guide to greatness. So who should be reading this?
Uh-oh.
Set that up again. I'm quite a fan of James Rolfe and his AVGN persona. Being a child of the late 80s, brought up on video games of the early 90s, I absolutely love his reviews of the worst games ever released. So there's not anything in the content of this.
Yeah.
I just really like that he prepares you.
yeah,
for this, and make sure you know that's not going to be dry.
Puts you into the right headspace for what it is. Yeah. You know, unlike other facts, I am going to waste your time with my own idea of what is funny. Yeah,
it's incredibly Michael Scott.
Yes,
he's like, you know, here's your orientation video for Scranton. Mm-hmm. It's not like other ones you've seen. It's funny. And then, you know, just show you the thing.
Lazy Scranton, wake up in the late afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that he's done for, so he does put a variation of this.
Okay.
On all of his facts.
This is Tisky soccer is what it does.
Yeah, Tisky soccer. And it lets you know whether you should be reading it. So this is his, for his challenge fact for Final Fantasy III. Who should be reading this? Everyone.
So spread it high on the mountaintops.
Yeah, good to know.
Let's see your
how about his character guide for Shining Force.
Yeah, well, why do we both click on the same thing? Shining Force CD.
I don't know which one. Let me see which one I'm on. Yeah, I'm on CD.
Damn it! I was like, I'm gonna pick one that he won't do.
Who should be reading this? Let's be frank. I'm not doing an extensive stat collection anymore. I don't have the time.
I've given up.
Leave me alone. I know I invited this into my house, but now I don't want it.
Who should be reading this? The At No Worries on Mega Man the Wily Wars.
So good.
Let's see here. Later, I eventually learn of Gerudo on YouTube in his series, The Music of Video Games. Oh, yeah. Epic memories ensues. So he's just doing a little bit of a primer on things that he happens to like at the moment.
Which is, you know, thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's also a thing. Remember the fact a couple of episodes ago where somebody was like, hey, I recommend that you go see the movie The Punisher starring Tom Jane. If it's not in the theaters, you might be able to find it at the movie store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. There was something there, but I lost it.
It's okay.
So we're going to say it quietly.
Did you notice that lesser the since everybody takes free study, it's time for a free period. Independent study. Did you notice that Lester the Unlikely has a TV Tropes page? With a Your Mileage May Vary section.
Ooh.
In case you were wondering whether Lester was the scrappy.
Okay.
He's certainly the scrappy.
Okay.
A lot of people just, you know, questioning the basic concept as a plot thing. So somebody was on here like, who falls asleep on a loading dock? This has an idiot plot.
Wait a minute. And then just a quote from the angry video game nerd. Ugh. Okay. I have no faith in this character already.
Yeah, we all remember James Rolfe's crisis of faith that he had
where
he turned around like on the road to Damascus.
Also, this nerd makes me look like Charles Bronson. Steve Urkel could beat the shit out of this guy under the entry for memetic loser. Yeah, it's literally just people pointing out like, hey, this character's a fucking nerd. Although there is an entry on Hilarious in Hindsight, Far Cry 3 would later use the Everyman Trapped on an Island where he takes a level in Badass plot, only it became a massive hit. Isn't Far Cry 3 a Heart of Darkness narrative?
I like the... I also like the idea of like, oh yeah, there's surprising themes this has in common with Far Cry 3, so much so that you can consider Lester the Unlikely a Far Cry antecedent.
Yeah, have you seen the movie The Shaggy D.A.? You could call his campaign an unofficial remake of The Shaggy D.A.
Well, apparently, according to TV Tropes, Lester also took a level in Badass.
Did he?
I scribbled through a long play, and he eventually gets a sword. So I think that's what taking a level. He bought a level in Badass from the mall.
He found a sword.
Yeah.
Oh God, Lester is a weak, pathetic idiot with no backbone. How many nerds did you know who were like the stereotypical nerd that is portrayed here in Lester the Unlikely?
Not many.
The gangly, the Milhouse alike. I only knew one Milhouse. Yeah. In school.
Well, Milhouse is fat. Milhouse is not gangly. That's the trick to the Simpsons.
Right.
This kind of specific nerd, like this is difficult.
Yes.
Like pocket protector, like Revenge of the Nerds nerd.
Yes. I only knew one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones I knew were religious kids.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah.
That would make sense. I feel like Lester the Unlikely, like this particular nerd archetype, like I don't know, maybe there was just a popular depiction of a nerd in like the 1950s, and like everybody just assumed that's what they were. Like,
for sure. The 80s. Like, this is Revenge of the Nerds. This is, yeah, you know, Gil and the main nerd.
Right. From Revenge of the Nerds. One of those rapists. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the myriad sex assaultists.
Yeah.
Both, there's only one of them that did the sex assault. The other one just cheered him on, I think.
Right, right.
If I remember from
the actor who played Booger, he does interviews and says like, yeah, well, the things that we said were okay and were funny in that, is that like actually not good? Like, I'm kind of upset that I made those movies, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What if this this game was called Lester the Homeschooled?
I imagine there are some homeschool people in the audience. So what do you mean by that?
Yeah. Well, they know they're weirdos. Like, I, you know, like, even if they're great, like, even if they're really cool and they stand by the decision, like, mm-hmm. you know, it's okay to be a weirdo. Like, it's like being raised in a commune.
Right, right.
You know, it makes you become a weird adult,
mm-hmm.
As a homeschooled kid.
The way to do it is the way that, and, you know, I've thought about this because I've known a few homeschool people, and the times when it has worked out the best is like homeschool until high school, and then take yes. them to high school, and then use that as like the socialization period to like make them into, you know, into kind of more well-adjusted people, you know?
Yeah.
Let's say
like high school blows, but it's important.
Yeah.
You know,
in hindsight, I didn't need 12 years of learning how to stand in line and turn things in on time. I probably
certainly not, man.
I probably could have gotten away with just four of those. So I am jealous of people who did to go that route. Right.
Yeah. All those real life skills you learn, like assembly,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like, yeah. that happens all the time in real life.
Did you have like
an assembly?
Did you have junior achievement as a kid?
I think I'm familiar with that phrase. I don't remember the details though.
So junior achievement is a program that goes around primarily to public high school, like to public schools, in order to teach the benefits of capitalism and entrepreneurism.
Okay.
Okay. And like,
that's unfortunate.
You know, a couple of times every year, there's like the junior achievement session that you do. One of them was preparing our class for like what it's like to work in a manufacturing environment. So it's like, okay. Hey, we're going to have you act like you're on an assembly line, and you know, we're going to have you assemble pens for us, ballpoint pens. So like, here you have the shell. You're going to open the shell. You're going to hand it off to somebody who's going to put the ink cartridge in, hand it off to the other person who's going to put the spring on, and then hand it to the final person to close it all up, and then hand it to another person to inspect it. And you're going to assemble, you know, 200 of these pens over the course of like a period of time.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's bleak, man.
It is really bleak.
We had like vocational stuff, you know, that we did where they would do that kind of thing, but they wouldn't be like, here, make some pens.
Uh-huh.
We didn't actually enact it. They just told us about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
There was one where they brought us in. It's like, okay, here, we're going to present you with a situation. Here is an empty lot that is next to, you know, here's an empty lot. Here's where it is in the town. Here's what's nearby. There are three businesses that could go here. And like, you as a group need to decide which of these is going to go in. And it's like, it's an empty storefront next to a park. And the three options are like a veterinarian, which is a problem because all of the parts need to be disposed of and there's going to be a smell. You could do an arcade, which will invite delinquency. Or there could be an ice cream, which has no downside. Which of these are you going to do? And me trying to lead the group saying, we do the ice cream thing. It's by a park. It doesn't invite delinquency. Yeah. There are not animal parts laying everywhere. And those people, those absolute fools that I was grouped with, no, let's do the vet. I like animals. Let's put the vet here. And I was like, but the animal parts, the smell. And no. And then we had to put that there and then put together a plan for how we're going to run the fucking vet.
Well, cool. In retrospect, surely you understand that they were right. That like, you know, like a vet is more useful, and that having just a bunch of animal parts is an adult's made up idea to scare children about the downsides of veterinarians. Right?
Yeah.
Like, they have trucks to take them away and everything. And uh-huh. also the entire exercise was taught you nothing and was a fucking spoof and a goof. Yep. You know, the people taking it less seriously than you were all correct.
You know, I never,
you don't have to win it.
I didn't,
like, you didn't have to win that quiz.
I didn't really, I really took it personally that people did not listen to reason. I could not convince them that they were as wrong as possible.
We had a thing, similar thing, that we were in high school where we were like supposed to be debating, bringing like a big evil company that did a lot of environmental damage.
Okay.
To a town, and we got assigned sides to debate. We didn't get to choose. So I was on the pro side. And so the argument I was given, or one of the arguments, was like, it would create jobs. Like, mm-hmm. we each had a character we had to play.
Right.
And there's a guy named Rory, which is the only Rory I've ever met, who is supposed to be a houseless person, a person with no home.
Okay.
In there. So it was like, I was not a popular kid. Like, people did not like me in high school. But it was very funny because I was, you know, still kind of me. So I could still kind of speak or, you know, do my thing. So I kept trying to making appeals. Whenever they would say anything about the environment, I'd be like, what if poor Rory? And this popular kid played along and just made like hangdog expressions and like looked pathetic and like
you were just using him as a prop? You were using him as a prop,
and he was pretending to be a houseless person in school. But I was very happy that he just played along with, like, and I was doing the kind of shit that people do when they're evil.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, I was just hammering over and over, like, no, this will create jobs. You know, it doesn't matter what it does to the environment. We can't create jobs any other way unless you want this man's, you know, death on your conscience. And he just kept like going,
oh.
And making sad noises. And it was very funny.
That is really good. Mm-hmm. So
a good high school memory.
We had multiple kind of assignments that were kind of like that. We're just like, hey, we're going to assign you a position to take in this, and we're going to force you to argue for it. How much damage mm-hmm. do you think that has done to our society?
all arguments are equal.
Yeah,
and you should.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you actually believe. What's important is if you can win.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah,
I really thought about that. Like the teacher, the speech teacher we had, who is not a cool dude because he dated students. He seemed like a cool dude at the time. I talked about him a lot recently.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the bare naked ladies obsessed speech teacher who liked to date former students.
Oh,
who seemed
no.
like the coolest guy in the world when I was in high school.
Oh no.
That guy, you know, he used to talk about when you do persuasive speeches, and he wouldn't allow things that were ridiculous. Like, you couldn't make a speech against world hunger, because he's like, everybody's against world hunger. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you have to choose something that at least has some controversy. But we never had to do, you know, outside of that one environment, that which was a part of a science class.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
The environmental thing. But in speech, he encouraged us to do things that we believed, but at least had two sides.
Right, right.
You know, reasonable side. So, like, we do, like, animal testing or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. things that you can make an argument for both sides if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's for the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just described that. Like, oh, you know, we're going to make you argue for this awful thing just so you can win. Like, I don't know. There's something really, you just see that a lot. You see a lot of people who act on that as if that is still what, still how they need to operate, how they're going to win.
That's the worst.
Hate it.
Yeah, it's absolutely the worst. I hate that shit. There's a lot of, I remember one of my friends telling me, I've told this story before, the first time he started going for, you know, jobs, like real mm-hmm. jobs. He was talking about how amazing it was to go in and do interviews. He's like, you just go in there. It's like, who's got the biggest dick? You just got to convince people you're going to win. I'm like, oh, that sounds fucking horrible. You
know, why are you saying that? Like, it's a good thing.
Yeah. That doesn't sound fun to me, that you just have to persuade people that you're correct and good.
No.
Without, you know, in a values neutral way, kind of regardless of what it is.
Uh-huh.
You know, you want to hear a sad short story?
Yes.
That teacher is still doing the exact same thing. The dude is, I don't know, I mean, I don't actually know that he's dating students, but
what?
He has not moved on from the town, has not moved on from the job.
Okay. So, wait, so people.
The off chance that, like, that guy listens, like, and it's nothing personal. It's just in retrospect, it was really gross that you.
But, you know, okay. So, he was what? A high school teacher?
Yes.
Right. Okay. And he dated, this was a known thing that he would. But was he, like, seen around town with people who were in his class after they graduated?
Where you know, the a senior, he would kind of like, it was like the courtship phase.
Oh, the grooming phase.
Yeah, the grooming is the word they use for that.
Yeah.
And then when the person graduated, and they weren't seen around town, I think it was on the down low, but people, it was a known secret.
Yeah.
Amongst that crew, because all of my friends were in that crew. Like, we're all in the, like, you know, either theater or forensics.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, you know, so that is the thing. You do learn more about a teacher and their personal life if you have them in a an extracurricular. Yeah.
Yeah. So, anywho, I looked him up just because I was like, what does that guy look like? I don't really remember his look.
Yeah.
And
now
I do.
Huh.
So.
Still at it.
Yeah.
20 years
still
later.
Still at it after all these years. You know? Just, Oh, man. What other Lester the Unlikely things we got going on here?
I don't know.
AVGN poisoned the discourse around this.
The discourse?
You know, like, everything is about this, or is about AVGN on this. And it's not nearly as bad as AVGN makes it out to be. Like, it's not fun to control.
Yeah,
it's a worse Prince of Persia. But it's still, like, you know, I think that a lot of people, maybe even the AVGN guy, went into this thinking it was going to be a platformer. You know, and it's not. It's like out of this world. It's slow and considered is the idea.
Although this does put into relief how important, like, good level design is.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like this is, what if a cinematic platformer, like, didn't have any interesting scenery, didn't have interesting, like, dense things to navigate? Like, Prince of Persia is good because, like, every screen has, like, multiple levels. Like, it's a really dense, knotted kind of place. Like, Another World is good because of the atmosphere, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
it doesn't have a lot to it.
Yeah, this is junky. You know,
I think the idea is it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah, but, like, you only get so much fun out of, like, oh, he stands weird. Look at how bad this guy's posture is.
Bad posture.
Yeah.
Like, this guy's going to have, like, a back like a question mark in 20 years.
Yeah.
You know. No good.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I'm the shorter episodes today because I've got other recording I'm doing. I'm still making up from my injury. So everybody understands we know supersized 50-minute episodes for a little bit.
What can they do if they would like to help us out, if they like the show?
Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. It's the number one thing.
Mm-hmm.
$5 a month gives you early episodes, access to the Slack, and a bunch of bonus episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also leave us a rating or review.
Please do.
Very appreciated.
Wherever you found this show. Yeah. And until next time, as our friend on Twitter, Vriska Chat, says, please send help. I'm trapped under stacks of newspapers. I could reach a 2-liter and a loaf of bread with my free hand, but things are starting to get dicey.